WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is the story Russell Baker tells us of the good times when a young man, shameless enough to want to make something of himself, could still go to faraway places on the gift of words, even though he was no smarter than anybody else. It's the familiar tone of a Baker column in the New York Times. Friendly, diffident, aw shucks. Picking up where he left off in his marvelous memoir, Growing Up, he'll tell us about his boyhood paper route, his college weekly at Johns Hopkins, his durance vile and giddy rise from police reporter to London bureau chief to White House correspondent for the Baltimore Sun, his abduction by James Reston of the Times to cover the State Department, the Senate, and several campaigns for the presidency, his annunciation as observer on that gray paper's even grayer editorial page, so impossibly young, so impossibly charming. He will tell us all this as if talent had nothing to do with it, just luck, and a mother who nagged him, and a winning way with the surrogate fathers who urged him ever upwards, an inky angel. The story's a lot more complicated, of course. Longtime Russell Baker readers know that a column can turn on them and bite. He has his doubts, and between anecdotes about John Foster Dulles, Estes Kefauver, Lyndon Johnson, and Evelyn Waugh, he hints at these doubts. Only a fool, he says, expects the authorities to tell him what the news is. And bad taste was almost always the excuse editors fell back on when they lacked a persuasive reason to suppress news they didn't want to print. And no matter how dull, stupid, unfair, vicious, or mendacious they might be, the utterances of the great were to be reported deadpan, with nary a hint that the speaker might be a dunce, a brute, or habitual liar. For a reporter to question the value of objective journalism was worse than unthinkable. It was subversive. It was revolutionary. Baker knows too many reporters who, for reasons of ego and social advancement, are also players, much too buddy-buddy with the politicians they're supposed to cover, and too many editors and publishers who look the other way in exchange for scoops and invitations to the White House. They're in danger, he says, of demeaning themselves and their papers and betraying their readers by becoming propagandists. It's hard to become a player, he says, and stay in business without ending up contemptible or a columnist. This is the Baker who bites himself, as in the darker stories of Achiever or even a Gogol. While every newspaper he's ever known attracts people who wanted life to be interesting rather than safe, he looks sometimes into his shaving mirror and sees, quote, a man content to wear out his hams sitting in marble corridors waiting for important people to lie to him, a comic strip intellectual, a human pomposity dilating on his constitutional duty, a drum thumper on a demagogue's bandwagon, a member of the claque for this week's fashion. There's not enough of this angry Baker in this otherwise lovely book. He'd have to retire to tell it all. And I'm torn. I wish he'd write forever for the Times. I wish he'd also write at length for the rest of us about everything we should have known, but somehow wasn't fit to print.